The Sony smartwatch allows the user to accept or decline calls on the watch, and then it activates the phone speaker or microphone or your Bluetooth if you're an asshole, so that you can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But, like, once again, you still have to use the phone.
If you're an asshole.
You know, I'm sorry. Those Bluetooth things just rub me the wrong
way. Really do.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Well, this remember, is setting three. Looks good.
Okay, remember, because there's three people in the room. You, me, and this mic.
Okay. We'll try to remember. I'll remember there's two people in the room. I just wanted to, like, get old school with this. We
really
used to do Barnyard News, and
we
haven't really done it in a while. We did it for the episode, and I just wanted to...
Yeah, right, it brought back good memories.
Yeah, so, you know, speaking of good memories, cockfighting. Back in the news again, it says game fowl breeders and fighters oppose cockfighting bill. This article cracks me up because when they're talking about the fighters, they're not talking about the chickens. They're talking about, I guess, the people who make the chickens fight as the fighters. I don't understand that.
So they're the fighters, the ones that own the
chickens don't get any billing at all in this whatsoever, even though they're doing the work. So it says game fowl breeders and fighters, not the chickens, mm-hmm. are opposing a state Senate bill that would increase penalties for participating in or observing cockfighting. Now, I didn't think you could ever get anyone on the record to be a proponent of cockfighting.
No kidding, right?
But these people, they raise the birds. It says the bill would further criminalize men and women, so people engaged in...
Yay, equal rights.
engaged in the age-old tradition of rape. Yeah, this is how they're trying to position it, right? This is like a cultural heritage
they're
thing.
They're framing it. Like, remember the good old days where
we could cockfight freely, you know, when we had slaves. So for raising game for fowl fighting, animal rights activists say...
And you could beat your wife with a stick no thicker than your finger.
Exactly. And who was, you know, no one was any the wiser.
Yeah.
The animal rights activists are saying cockfighting is cruel to animals. It is.
Yes.
And it breeds an underground culture of criminal activity, including drug use and gambling. So this is before the Senate panel. And the guy who's chairing the panel... He said that he'll vote on it, but he wanted to fix the language to make sure that incidental fights between birds would not be criminalized. You know what I'm saying? Birds happen to be in the ring and they happen to get to fighting, bird says something about another bird's mom.
Right.
That's not criminal.
No. It just is, you know, this is the way, that's nature.
Yeah.
It's just the way things happen.
But I
do want to say a little side note about gambling. Gambling in general, there's nothing wrong with a little friendly wager between friends.
Yeah, on the side.
Right.
On the side. South Carolina is one of eight states that treats cockfighting as a misdemeanor. I bet most states don't even have, like, anything about cockfighting. But under federal law, it's a penalty. I mean, it's a felony penalty. So you can be charged money, you can be in jail. I kept reading this, and it says here, like, breeders of the fighting bird say that they're being unfairly targeted by people who do not understand the rural tradition of cockfighting. I'm rural. I get it. It's fucked up and wrong.
Yeah.
Like, what's to understand?
The rural tradition. Is that how they're going to pass off all
this
bad behavior?
Yeah, all this bad behavior. So
it's a rural tradition. This is a suburban tradition.
Jimmy Howard of the SC Game Fowl Breeders Association equated cockfighting birds to chicken hawks, saying they commit, this is the chickens, commit violent death every day. We can't pass a law saying chickens can't kill something. That's what they do. It's so bizarre. This guy's advocating for the bird's right to fight. In the ring.
You gotta fight for your right to fight.
Gary DeCourt of Little Mountain said, one of our biggest challenges in raising these birds is to keep them from killing one another when they mature, and I guess to stop them from killing each other for free before they can be put in the ring.
Right.
It's so bizarre.
That is the strangest thing. In nature, they fight. Why try to restrain them?
We don't know what they do in nature because they're not allowed to be in nature anymore. Yeah. Like, they're raised, they're like little Rockies.
Yeah.
It says,
little feathered Rockies. Right?
They're saying that these things just happen, like, incidentally, but the police found a ledger about what vitamins and steroids were given to the birds. That doesn't sound accidental to me.
Right.
That sounds like a plan. They also So the panel's chairman said that he and other lawmakers don't want to outlaw the raising of the game fowl. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we don't want to outlaw the cocks themselves mm-hmm. that are bred to fight. We just don't want them to get the fighting. And so he doesn't want to stop breeders from enjoying the animals. But it says,
I like your air quotes. Enjoying the animals.
Equipping the animals with gaffs, which are artificial spurs, or other fighting implements is unacceptable. This is the point at which I'm like, are these like little Mad Max birds? Like, what's on these things?
It's a Thunderdome. It is a Thunderdome. It's a rural Thunderdome. That quaint tradition of...
I want to see the Tina Turner fighting cock.
Yeah.
With the mohawk.
Yeah.
And like the chains and everything.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, it's okay if, you know, these birds get to fighting by accident, but they don't want to see gambling, you know, with entry fees and prizes and that kind of stuff. Okay. We don't want to allow that. I'm like, but you have been.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Somebody actually went on record saying, like, this is our tradition. Are you kidding me?
That's, yeah.
I feel bad for the oppressed people of South Carolina that they are no longer able to do their cockfighting.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. It's like, you know what? I don't know. Either keep it small... Or, like, why are you keeping a ledger of the birds, like, regimen?
They better start filming them and having a nice documentary.
Yes.
And, like, then getting cockfighting day.
Yes.
It could be every, like, June 15th.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's so, it's like they're running the bulls, where you, like, you do it once, you do it once, hit it and quit.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. So, yeah, cockfighting, it's out there. And there are people who feel that, you know, it's a part of their cultural heritage, I guess.
Well, you need to do something else. Yes. Start to, how about getting out more.
This is where robots could come in. We could do robot cockfighting?
Yeah, sure.
You know?
We could do that.
Virtual cockfighting? Anything, but I'm just thinking...
Actual animals.
Of these poor little animals, just like, with all kinds of things duct taped to them.
They should
like, sharpened objects.
They should do that. You know it makes me think of the camel races that they have in Dubai.
Yeah, where they are being humane to a certain extent by not putting small children on them.
Right, and back in the day, they used to make children ride the camels in the camel races.
But
in the middle of the desert.
Are they whipping the camels?
Well,
or
yes.
The camels... Oh, they do.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay,
they
so
do.
It's a little
right
bit
now,
like...
right now they have, instead of children, they have little robots that look like a fire hydrant with whips for arms.
Okay.
And
oh,
then,
what?
Yeah, and then they...
I'm literally imagining a red fire hydrant now with, like, two bull whips on the
basically,
side.
Basically, yeah.
And nothing else.
Yeah, except that... And they have a little cap on top.
Why?
A little... To make it look like a person.
Does it say, like, Exxon on the cap or something? Shell.
And they ride next to them in SUVs, the owners of the camels.
Okay.
And by remote control, they make the little jockey whip the camel. So, again, not good.
Not great.
Not at all.
But that's different between... You know, having camels run, because camels do run.
Yeah.
And having camels that are, like, fucking strapped up with, like, all kinds of weapons going at each other. And saying it's okay, because camels do get to fighting every once in a while outside of Dubai in the desert. So, it's just so bizarre. I wouldn't go on record.
No, they should just make robot camels with robot jockeys.
Yes, and they should have robot cockfighting and also robot breeders.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I want these people around either. My mom grew up with bantam roosters around, mm-hmm. and she said that they were terrifying. But I don't remember, I mean, they need one to, like, you know, fertilize the eggs and all that kind of stuff so you can have more chickens, obviously. She said they were terrifying. They hated when they would see them. They always kept them apart. So you could only have, like, one of those fighting cocks in an area.
Yeah.
You know, that's how nature is. You don't breed a bunch of fighting cocks together. That doesn't, it's like those fish in a bowl.
Yeah.
You know, that you see.
Yeah, you can't put them all together.
You put them together next to each other just in their own bowls and they're trying to get at each other.
Yeah.
Like if they had a little glass cutter.
Right.
They'd be all over it. I don't know.
One day when they learn to fashion tools with their fins.
Yeah. Barnyard
it's gonna
news. Barnyard news. Look for it. Cockfighting.
I was drinking a little white wine last night.
Oh, really?
And I read this and I just sat there laughing.
I can't believe that.
Sat there laughing.
Yes.
And then the article starts out, it's too easy to steal an Apple Watch.
Huh? Okay, I'm going to be talking about Apple Watch as well, so I want to hear about this.
And so I was laughing, like, it sounds like, you know, somebody's grandfather. Don't get the Apple Watch.
They take
easy.
It from you.
They take it from you. They steal it.
That's how they get you. They sell it to you, and then they wait outside the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, basically, anyone who steals an Apple Watch can, in about 20 seconds, simply reset it and make it their own. So,
okay, you know, good to know. I just saw a woman with an Apple Watch on, and I thought, it does look like I could just grab it off of her wrist.
You can, and then run away
in
a little corner, and then And then you just press, what you have to do is, what does it say here? It says,
you press reset.
Press reset. You hold down the power off button and then select and erase all the data on the watch and it's.
And you're home free?
Yep.
So it's not like your phone where there's like a kill switch or anything like that?
No, they did it. They said, Apple designed the Apple Watch. They make it surprisingly easy to override the passcode and completely wipe it clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the iPhone, as I was saying, by contrast, the iPhone, you can't do that.
Is somebody at Apple headquarters right now like, don't?
You know, but Apple didn't add a kill switch to the Apple Watch. The one reason could be that the Apple Watch doesn't connect independently to cellular networks or Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So sending it a self-destruct message is from afar is a tricky task.
How the hell is this thing? I have no idea how this works. Do you know anyone who's gotten one?
No.
I think we're too old. And it's just, I don't know. I have a lot of, I feel like this Apple Watch thing, every time I look in the news, they're trying to convince me that I need to buy it. No one's ever had to convince me to get like a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like something that, you know, like a hot pair of shoes.
Right.
Like I don't need to understand, you know, they're trying to say like, you know, you need to have this. They're creating a need there, but they're not doing a very good job of it.
And now, right. And the reporter who was covering, I watched a video. She's wearing it and she's like,
it looks like crap.
She's like, I stopped wearing watches because I can look at the time on my phone. Now, on my iPhone. And now Apple is saying you need to tell time by looking at a watch again. What are their watches?
Well, I mean, I like watches. And I have a lot of watches. But they're just for fashion.
Yeah.
You know? And that Apple Watch is hideous. Maybe if they made it look like a bangle or something like that. Yeah. Like something a little more interesting. It looks very old
school. And apparently it takes like 3 days to like learn how to work all the features.
Are you kidding? For us to learn how to work?
Or for everybody. It? For everybody.
For everyone?
For the user.
That's too long.
Yeah, they said it's like a big learning
curve. I would take it back after the first 24 hours. So speaking of the smart, so-called smartwatch, I wanted to find out why should I or anybody buy one of these? Because I can't figure it out.
Okay.
My phone does everything that I need it to do, and it does some things too well. Like it allows people to contact me when I don't want to be found. So
isn't that something?
Yeah, so here's one of
that's a lot something.
The top reasons.
Young lady.
Number one is notifications. Once again, I'm already dodging the couple notifications I get now.
Yeah.
Like quite, you know, like the Matrix. So it says notifications. You have the ease of having them sent to your wrist. That's two. I mean, my phone is close to my wrist usually. And you can identify their importance without removing your phone from a pocket or a bag. I don't know. I guess that's not really a problem for me. It says it simplifies your life and saves time. I have
yet to
meet a piece of equipment that's electronic that has made my life easier. Like,
right.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. We're all a slave to the equipment.
Yes.
To the
we're stuck to it now. Yeah. It says here, social etiquette. Checking your phone can be rude. Yeah. It says replacing that with a quick glance at your wrist is quicker, simple, et cetera, but still rude.
Yeah.
Like if I'm talking to you and every 5 minutes you're looking at your wrist, how is that easier? All right, so that's one thing. So then it says here to travel. During their Spring Forward event where Apple trots out whatever they have, Tim Cook demonstrated the Apple Watch being used to get through airport security. Yeah, right. Like, anything's going to make that process faster.
Oh, right.
Like, oh, my God. On. So apparently your boarding pass can be on your watch screen. People are doing it with their phones already. That's fine.
I tell you, my phone dies continually. I can't use that. I have to print out my ticket each
time. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's like, always a good thing to do anyway as a backup, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing is answering calls. And it says various smartwatches handle calls differently. The Sony smartwatch allows the user to accept or decline calls on the watch, and then it activates the phone speaker or microphone or your Bluetooth if you're an asshole so that you can have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But, like, once again, you still have to use the phone.
If you're an asshole.
You know, I'm sorry. Those Bluetooth things just rub me the wrong way.
They really do,
It just looks like...
Isn't it something people spend a lot of time inventing these things that they think are going to be really helpful?
Yeah.
And then the people that adopt them are...
Give it a bad name. Remember the way you could clip your phone onto your belt and then the kind of people that did that kind of ruined it?
Well. And also the Segway.
Aww.
Right? That's a great idea.
You know what I
saw? And you just look like a jerk on them.
I saw a guy, an older gentleman. This is the exception to that rule.
Okay.
An older gentleman, he looked like a miniature Orville Redenbacher.
Oh, nice.
And he was tooling around 42nd Street on a Segway. He was like 1,000 years old.
See,
and he looked really dapper. And I'm assuming he had a mobility issue. Mm-hmm. But it was awesome. Because everyone was just like, he was just like little dude, you know, on the Segway. That's appropriate.
Right.
Is that fitness? You can use it to track, like, all the activity you do. I don't want to know how much time I spend sitting around watching Netflix.
I don't.
And I'm sorry. I looked on my phone the other day. Apple had downloaded something. It's been tracking my footsteps. I don't get around. Is what I discovered. I didn't know it was tracking me. You should look on yours, too. It's like a little heart symbol.
Oh, get out.
It turned itself on and showed that I hadn't gone anywhere that day at all.
I wonder if it would count if you took a train and they count them as footsteps.
I have no idea.
Anyway, I'd be like miles.
Isn't that just miles a bug miles to track me?
Yeah.
I don't know. The other thing says music. You can walk around town, listening to music on your phone. If a track comes
walk
on...
Walk about the square, Jaquetta.
Yes. Gadabout. If a track comes on that you don't like, simply hit next on your watch. I mean...
So you could do that on your...
I do that on my headset.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it says the battery life. It says that the phone... You can stop using your phone and then let your watch do all these applications mm-hmm. for you and mm-hmm. it'll save battery life. But... The biggest drain on battery life on my phone is the fact that the 4G never works, and it's constantly straining to send messages or get information. I don't know if the watch is going to do anything about that. And then the last thing it says, you can customize the face of your watch. This guy says, it's fun. On the weekends, I can walk around with a dancing Mickey Mouse on my wrist, but at Monday morning, I can wear a more professional watch face. And I'm like, dude, I'm not 12, so I really don't care about that. Like, is that a problem?
It's fun.
I guess.
It's fun having that on your wrist.
I don't know. So none of these reasons really resonate with me. It's security. Okay, here's one that I thought was interesting. If you've ever found yourself in a rough area at night and too afraid to get out your expensive smartphone, lucky the smartwatch is more discreet. Dude, snatching watches was the original street crime.
It was. You're right.
That's the way started.
My watch is gone.
Yes.
That's the first thing people go for.
Yes. Yeah, well, and also, too, in New York City, I don't know how it is in other places, but if you get robbed in New York City, they want it all. Mm-hmm. They want the phone. They want your watch. They want, any jewelry. They're not going to be like, you know what? Just give me the watch. I'll move on.
Yeah.
And I'll go over the corner and reset it.
Oh, my gosh. So yeah, wearing a watch is just going to make you a bigger target.
But isn't watches what people have always stolen?
Yep.
Like, that's always been the thing to steal.
Yep.
So bizarre. And then the woman that I saw today, it looked like hers was about to fall off anyway. You definitely could have, ripped it off and ran.
Yeah.
But we'll know if the watch has any real meaning for people if people start stealing them.
Yes.
If people haven't started stealing them, remember when the iPhones first came mm-hmm. out? Everybody was stealing them. The mayor actually had to, make a statement. I haven't heard about anyone stealing watches yet. So that means to me that they're not all that they're cracked up to be.
Right.
They need
maybe
to be getting
that's
ripped
why, maybe
off.
That's why they're making it easy to reset so people will steal them and it will up the value of them.
I hope so. I mean, because if people aren't... If people aren't, that would show some kind of forethought.
Yeah, but that's kind of, that's really sinister.
It is.
If Apple will, did that on
but
purpose.
But it's a tech company, so I think sinister is baked into it. Right. But I'm saying, if people aren't trying to steal it, it's not worth anything.
Oh my gosh.
So, what do you have?
I just wanted to...
this is a word from our
this is a
partner.
Word from our partner. No, people have asked us, where the hell are you?
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yes, we always say the Hey You Know It studio. Yeah. Right. It's a real thing.
It's a real place. We're nestled in the... In the nest of Funkadelic Studios here in New York City.
Which is located really conveniently in Times Square.
Right, at 209 West 40th Street.
And I'll give you a tip. If you want to avoid the crowds, take the 1 train and get off at the 40th Street exit and you pop out right there.
Right. And Funkadelic is really interesting because we just thought they were a rehearsal space.
Yeah. For bands, Cinema, the rehearses here. The BC Boys used to rehearse here. Like, a lot of different, artists have rehearsed here over time.
Yeah, it's
we randomly found
that. Yeah, we're actually in the recording studio right now, even though we still use our own equipment.
Yes, because they've got some great equipment here. We don't even know what it means.
Yeah.
we have no idea what it is.
Right.
We stay away from it. We bring in our own tiny mic.
Yeah, but they have everything. They have the repair shop, they have rentals, they have a retail shop, and
they have jams.
They have jams, right. It's in the big room. And in fact, on June 20th, they're having a ladies' feature jam.
Hey.
So ladies, June 20th, roll on up to Funkadelic and jam out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. Yeah. Ladies' jam. Do they have those on the regular?
They have jams, yeah. What is it? Every Saturday night, they have a jam.
But this one is specifically the ladies' jam.
Yeah, and it's like a different theme each time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Public nudity. I'm going back to old school.
You are really coming up with the classics tonight.
This is classic. Hey, you know it. This is dated May 12th. All right. So public nudity ban okayed by Sacramento committee. So apparently there was a law in Sacramento that said you can't be publicly nude.
Mm-hmm.
And it designated a lot of spaces where you can't be, but they forgot to say the sidewalk.
Oh, get out.
But it's not been a problem, necessarily.
Nobody's, like, but nudity, who they're talking about.
It's, so, but you're not going to like it when I say. So it says, basically, there was, you know, they had a debate. They didn't really have a debate about it in their council. Only one person came and spoke. Sandy Riggs, who's a member of the American Association for Nude Recreation, came and said, look, I asked you not to criminalize nudity in Sacramento. Nude is not lewd. So I'm like, wow, are a lot of people just running around butt naked in Sacramento? Wow. Like, is there a problem with this? Actually, no, there's not really a problem about it at all. One couple who looked like they were like hippies wanted to get married nude. And so they walked to the courthouse nude. Okay, whatever. Okay. Like, maybe you like it, maybe you don't like
it. What was the thought behind that? Because we're bearing our souls
and
our bodies to each other for eternity.
But it's like, and then they show them being escorted into a police van. They look like the most harmless people ever. I don't think the answer to that was to pass this law. However, it said that the majority of the offenders of this, and the people who were nude on the sidewalk were people who were drunk and then people who were homeless.
Yeah.
Now, is the answer to that, though, to lock them up? I don't know. Like, if you're drunk, if I'm drunk and naked, I need help.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, so I think, yeah, and public nudity is a signal for help.
Yeah, that's for the most part. Yeah. Unless you're streaking or doing something like that.
Then it's
then it's like,
then
okay.
It's just insufferable.
Yes. It's just rude. But it's like, it's so bizarre that they, so it said, what they did make exceptions, if you're under 10, feel free to go naked on the sidewalk. I feel like that's a little old.
That's right.
But,
oh my gosh, with the way the kids are going through puberty nowadays.
Yes, and I guess you can't really ask for ID because they're naked, right?
Yeah.
Where are they going to put it?
I'm a child.
You can breastfeed. I don't consider that to be
nudity.
And
with all the Brazilians out there, nobody's going to know.
No one's going to know. I don't think breastfeeding is nudity.
I don't think so either. That's a whole other thing.
You don't see very much. You don't really see a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, you see a little bit. And it says, if you're doing a theatrical performance, of course, you can be naked. Mm-hmm. And then you could be nude on public property as long as it's enclosed. But the part about this law that made it, like, kind of weird for me is they're saying, basically, no person shall be nude on public upon public property, upon it, mm-hmm. or upon any portion of private property that is visible from public property. Mm-hmm. So if you go out on your porch for a second naked and someone from the sidewalk sees it, it's an offense.
Oh, really?
Yes, I find it to be weird. That's and you're not even down with nudity.
I know.
And you're still like, hey.
Yeah.
Because, like, it happens every once in a while. You got to just run out for a second or, you know. Or what if you're in your apartment, you walk by a window nude, someone sees it from a park or something like that or from the sidewalk? Yeah. Am I going to get in trouble?
Yeah.
And it's California. Yeah. I feel like I've seen more nudity there than anywhere else. Anyway, so public nudity. Nice. So just watch out. If you're in Sacramento, you know, keep your clothes on.
Yeah, right. Button up.
Yeah, button up. So what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Awesome. So Tales from the Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost tales, folklore, fake lore, urban legends, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Gather around.
Gather around that campfire. Dare campfire.
This one. Journey campfire.
This one is called Non-Human Entity Visited Me as a Child.
Okay. Very specific.
Yes. This memory I have from my childhood is one that still haunts me to this day.
Okay. It's a good opening.
Yeah. Not too bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I like to get right into it.
It happened when I was living in my childhood house, which I've always thought was haunted for some reason.
Okay. Probably because you were a child. I never thought my house was haunted. You had a big house. No, were you guys scared?
No, we never thought our house was haunted. We thought our grandparents' house was haunted.
But didn't you guys have like an attic?
Yeah, but it was just, you know, nasty up there.
It was not haunted. It was just unpleasant. Yeah. When we went down to my mom's house like a couple of years ago to clean it out, the old house before she built the new one, we had to go up into the attic, and literally, it was like Paranormal Activity. Like, there was stuff everywhere, and there was a small piece of paper. I was like, I'm out of here.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was like, I'm out of here. Tear this piece down.
You just like,
I wouldn't go in. I made Greg go in there. Even my mom, and my mom is not superstitious, was like, he'll go up there. I'm not going.
Really?
Yeah, she didn't want to look up there.
Wow.
It was creepy.
It was super creepy.
Yeah, it was creepy. And I'm not afraid of stuff like that. I just didn't like it.
Wow.
You know? All right.
All right. So, okay. It happened back when I shared my room with my sister. So I'd say I was around age 4.
Okay.
All right. Well, I don't know.
She should have doctored that a little bit.
Yeah.
Made it 7.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's right. It says here. So I'd say I was around age 8.
Okay.
one night while I was sleeping, I woke up to the feeling of someone being in the room.
Okay.
When I looked up, a figure was walking in the room, but it didn't seem human to me at first.
Okay.
It didn't really have a shape at all, but it was glowing in a sense.
Was in what sense? Like in a light, bright sense?
Just in a sense.
Okay.
As it got closer, I made out a human figure, but not a human head.
How big was this room? Damn. The thing was walking. She could, okay.
Yeah. The head was a long football-like shape. This is what I liked about the story. This is why I wanted to read it. And the only way that I can describe it was like an anteater type head.
Yeah, you know.
I don't recall any facial features, but I remember it looking very strange. I initially was really confused, and I called out, Mom, because...
Oh, rude. That is so rude. That's one of my biggest fears, is that I'll be meeting someone somewhere, and I'll see someone who looks like a hideous example of them, and call that person out, and the other person will see it.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like,
So she's saying her mom looks like an anteater head.
Football head.
Football.
Yeah, an anteater football head.
I love that woman.
Yes.
Mother's Day is going to be great.
Yeah, right.
The figure made its way and sat down at the end of my sister's bed and looked toward the wall.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, she didn't call out to her sister. She was like, ooh, it's not me. Yeah, like, now I have a chance to get out of here.
Yeah. I was so terrified with fear that I hid behind my stuffed animal and didn't say anything.
Aw.
I would look up and...
This sister is out cold at this point.
Yeah, I would look up every once in a while to see if it was still there, and it was until it started to become light out.
Okay.
As soon as it was light out, I ran to my parents' room and told them. I've been telling this story ever since because I have no idea what it was, but I know it was very real. And it is the most vivid memory from my childhood I have, my earliest memory.
That's creepy at age eight. Yes. Not age four.
Yeah. I'm not huge into the whole paranormal thing, but I'm very sensitive to people's moods and emotions and always have been.
Mm-hmm. I try to ignore them. That's one of my strengths.
Like, I haven't had any experience like this since. Any ideas what it could be? I have thought about it my entire life.
Please tell me some people weighed in on yes. what they think it could be.
Yes. One of the readers said, have you done any research on what it could be? Has your sister shared any concern over this experience or any new experience from this thing?
I would be pissed if I were that sister. I'm like, you didn't wait. If we were in a room and I saw something coming towards you, I would like try to.
Yeah, you do.
If I couldn't get your attention, I would like leap on it or something.
Right.
Like,
right.
Come on.
Do something. Yeah. Don't just sit there behind your stuffed animal.
Just with big eyes. Like, be like, is there something behind me? No, no.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
Have you, right, you know, it's funny, once on my bike, I was riding my bike as a little kid, and a rabid dog was chasing, well, my sister and I were riding our bikes home.
Oh my, a rabid dog?
An actual rabid dog, and the police were looking for it, and so we knew it was around, and there it was. And
it was like a horror movie from the 70s.
Yeah, and so, right, it was definitely like a Cujo story, and my sister took off and just left me behind.
Classic. Did you see her all of a sudden develop like superhuman pedaling strength? You're like, what's going on?
I know.
I'm here by myself.
I was younger, so I couldn't go as fast. She just took off.
She was like, I just need to be a little bit faster than Katie.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got away.
Well, the dog actually, my bell bottom saved me because it was the
70s. What? The please dog, tell me how some flares saved your life.
Well, because I was riding and the dog came at me, and it went to bite my leg.
And got the flare.
And just got the bell-bottom material.
Sweet!
And his head went, I remember seeing his head going around as I pedaled.
Wow!
And then he just, I don't know if I kicked him or something, but then he let go. And I dove off the bike, and then he ran away. I don't know how
that's really exciting. See, had you been wearing skinny jeans, we probably wouldn't be here today.
I'm right. I would have had 18 shots in my stomach.
Hey, you know it would not have been happening the same way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We used to get chased by dogs all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Did you guys abandon each other?
Yeah, we did. We totally abandoned each other. We would call out, be like, yo, go! And they were just like every man for himself.
Yeah. Okay, another reader of the story says, it sounds like you're empathetic. It's a useful skill to have. I'm not sure.
In human life.
I'm not sure that this was non-human or human, but it was odd. Did anyone die around that time? Or maybe,
probably somebody did.
Yeah. Like, maybe someone that would want to drop by for a second.
With a football head?
With it. Stay there the whole night. That's not a second.
Yeah.
And the last reader said, enjoyed your story, dude. I think if I were in your place, I would have pissed in my pants. Thanks for sharing.
Oh, nice. Awesome. I like it. Yeah. That's an excellent tale from Dirk Campfire.
Yeah.
I want to bring up something here. I don't know if you heard about this or not. It's called a suitsie.
A suitsie?
It's a onesie suit.
Oh,
so it's an adult pajama onesie. It looks like a full business suit. One guy wore it for a week and no one noticed. So I was looking at this account of a guy.
Or they were pretending not to notice. They're like, this guy's wearing it for a week.
I looked at pictures of a suit. You can't tell.
Wow.
Like, it's so well done. It actually looks like you're wearing a suit with the jacket open a little bit. The shirt, the tie is a little off kilter. Uh-huh. So it looks like you're actually wearing it. The zipper of the onesie is hidden beneath the placket of the button down. And it's a little bit wrinkled. There's pockets. There's a belt. Like, it actually legitimately looks like a suit.
Wow.
So this guy was wearing it around San Francisco and he's like, no one's noticing. And he's like, well, it's San Francisco. So then he goes to a Republican convention to see if people who, you know, are like serious suit wearers would actually notice. And apparently nobody did. He told a couple people and they were like, no way, dude. People thought he was wearing a traditional suit. Yeah. You can take this thing off. You can sleep in it, first of all, if you want to. It's very comfortable. It's more comfortable than a suit. You can hang it up overnight, you know, and then zip it back on and put it on the next day. It has fake cuffs. Like, it looks like...
Does it have a trap door in the back?
Well, that was the question. People were like, how do you pee in this thing? You got to take it off. Which could be a little embarrassing in an office place.
Right.
Like, if you have to unzip... If you're a man and you're using the urinal, and you have to unzip your entire top, pull it down just to, you know, get your member out, as it were.
Yeah, so they have to do a little more reconstruction.
Yeah. So they put this suit together as, you know, it was a... like one of those crowdfunding campaigns. And Good Morning America praised it for its quirky bohemian ingenuity. But GQ said it's an omen of the end times. Like it's Armageddon, basically. So that was pretty interesting. Here's the suit Z, and here's a picture of it so you can enjoy it.
Oh, it actually looks like a suit.
And I looked at a video of it. It looks like a suit. But it's the idea that if you aren't really paying that close attention, and why would you? Does someone's just boring ass suit?
Right.
You know, you can kind of get away with it.
Could not get away with this in New York.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think you can get away with it. Because people in New York do look you up and down. Yeah. Like, I caught myself scrutinizing a guy's ensemble, like a businessman's ensemble, on the subway for no reason. Yeah. Didn't like his shoes. And that was all over my face.
Yeah.
Like, everything was good until I got to the footwear. And then I think I frowned. And he was just kind of like, okay. Really?
It's true. And people guys are serious about the way they dress in New York. In an office that I worked in, the air conditioning broke in the middle of the summer, 100-degree day. We're in the middle of a heat wave. And so we were absolutely just so uncomfortable. We were sweating. It was miserable. He, that day, decided to wear a blazer. I don't know why, in the middle of the summer.
Because he wanted to.
Yes, he wanted to. And he didn't take the jacket off. And we're like, it's roasting in here. Aren't you going to take your jacket off? He said, when I got up this morning, this is the outfit I chose to wear.
And I'm wearing it.
And I'm wearing it throughout the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think if they're an equivalent. I would love to see like a pantsuit for a woman. Yeah. First of all, I find when I think of pantsuit, I think of the 70s.
I think of Mary Tyler Moore. I think of the 80s.
Yeah. I'm thinking flares. I mean, the 80s pantsuit is not as exciting to me. I've always wanted to just rock a pantsuit with some, like, Mary Tyler Moore, some flares, some chunky heels.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know. I kind of like that look. I'd like to see a one piece for women.
All right. All right. Well, we'll email them and they should get on it for
If they could do flares, that would be nice. Suitsy.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
I have some advice.
Oh, cool. Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence Advice on Advice. Oh, who's it from? Anyone we know?
This is Wayne and Tamara.
Okay.
These are people, I've used them before.
Awesome.
And I forgot about them. I dug through the archives.
Okay. Are they a couple?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so they know.
Yeah, they know everything.
Right. Totally insufferable. You know, the couples that are just like... our successful life together.
Those are the people who are like in therapy.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the question. My fiance and I are getting married this year.
Okay, congrats.
My future sister-in-law just told me she slept with her brother's, my fiance's best friend, who is also our best man.
Huh? Okay, can you say that again? Because it sounds like she slept with her brother.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Okay, so my future sister-in-law just told me she had slept with her brother, my fiance's best friend, who is also our best man. Our best man is married.
Okay.
So she's sleeping with the best man who's already married.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
So this is her fiance's sister.
Okay.
I thought this was going to be easy.
Yeah, sorry. It was short, and that's how you know there's always pitfall.
Yeah.
It looks easy.
Yeah. Okay, so our best man is married, and not only married, he's married to a woman who is one of our close friends.
He's not exactly the best man, then is he? He's like the worst man at your wedding. Okay.
She was in a relationship when she did this. And not only did they sleep together, they slept together several times. His wife and I are close friends, and she disclosed to me that her doctor told her...
Oh, no!
...that her husband, our best man, gave her an STD. Genital warts.
Get out of here. And you can't get rid of that.
Nope, that's there.
The gift that keeps on giving. Wow. Wow, okay. Yeah. So the wife already knows.
Yeah, the things that are guaranteed in life is that...
Herpes. Like, that's a guarantee.
Once you get herpes,
And warts is all over.
Yeah. I feel I should tell my fiancé what his sister and the best man are up to, but I also feel it could be a very bad idea. My sister-in-law swore me to secrecy. I told her I wouldn't tell, but it's driving me crazy. What should I do?
Okay, so the question is, everybody else knows about the warts and the booty, except for... The fiance.
Right.
Okay.
That's the fiance and the wife, their best friend.
Oh, okay.
The best friend. So.
But the wife has got it because she's running around with herpes.
No, the husband.
I'm so confused.
Okay.
I need a chart. I'm bad at this.
The best man was cheating with the sister-in-law.
Okay.
He gave her herpes. So the wife. Who does not know about the cheating.
She doesn't have herpes?
Apparently she doesn't have herpes.
Or she doesn't. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Okay. Always.
We don't know.
All right.
So now we've got herpes in the mix.
This is the herpes is what's throwing out. I'm concerned about the herpes. What about him?
I know.
Just getting passed around. No one cares.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but now it's like, she knows. And so now does she go to the wife, their friend?
Uh-huh. And tell her that her husband is running around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. So what's the
answer is your fiance's sister gave you a wedding gift. She made you an accomplice to adultery. Having a compromise.
Those would be herpes. Surprise.
Having compromised her own ethics, she wants to compromise yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's found out. Well,
I don't know if that's necessarily what people are trying to do when they. Sometimes people just need to get a secret out there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're trying to make you. The effect of it is what she's saying.
Yeah, but I know they want to get, she's not trying to be like,
yeah, she's not trying to, you know, spread that rumor like she's been spreading herpes.
Yeah, she feels guilty.
Yeah, she feels bad.
Yeah.
She's probably hoping it gets out, like the herpes.
When she's found out, what will pop out of her mouth? Pam
herpes. Herpes isn't, I mean, it's just like, come on, people. What is it, the 70s?
I know.
Like, be responsible.
Right. Put something on that.
Yeah. really?
So back to
okay.
What will pop out of her mouth?
Pampers? What?
No, Pam knew.
Oh, Pam.
Because Pam is signed Pam.
Okay.
Pam has the question.
Okay.
She will deflect as much blame onto you as she can. She got to unburden her soul, and what did you get? Nothing.
At least you didn't get herpes. Hey.
She said, nothing from nothing is nothing. Go ahead and tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should have been at the top. Tell everybody.
Yeah.
Do it at the wedding.
Yeah, right. I'd like to make an announcement about our best man.
Even better, you do it at the part where, like, if anyone here, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I'd be like, I'm fine with the decision I'm making. Yeah. But guess what?
The following people have herpes, and this is why. But you got to do a chart because I was confused by this, and I consider myself to be a person of average intelligence.
Yeah, actually.
I needed a visual because I'm that kind of learner.
We should do this with puppets.
Yes, we should act it out.
Yeah.
Does the herpes get a puppet too?
Yes.
We could ask Lauren Mall for that. She would probably have a herpes puppet.
Yeah, and with Velcro that we stick on the yes. individuals.
We
with
could
herpes.
Show how it goes from place to place.
Right.
We could do a rock opera like R. Kelly.
Yeah.
And see if people got the package.
Right.
Okay, that's awesome.
Avenue Q style.
I like that a lot. So I have some unpopular technology. We like to report on the coming robo-apocalypse. Yeah. It's happening.
It's happening now. 2015 is
the year. That woman already got attacked by that Roomba in Korea.
That's right.
And I just wanted to follow up on that. And I know why the Roombas are attacking.
Why?
Because they've created this new robot.
Oh, wait, before you go, just to recap, there was a woman in Korea. She was laying on the floor and her Roomba came by and sucked up her hair.
Sucked up her hair. And she had to be, it had to be removed by the authorities, right? Mm-hmm. I think that either the police, they're authoritative. Either the police or it was the fire department.
Call the authorities. Yes. My hair is caught in the Roomba.
So it says Roombas were just the start. An office cleaning robot is being put through the paces by Dussmann, one of Germany's largest cleaning companies at its Berlin headquarters. So this is a robot that has a Roomba-like attachment on its arm, but it can also empty trash cans.
Oh.
And I think Roombas are pissed. Because I think it's going to be the end of Roombas.
Right.
So it looks, this is supposed to be replacing janitors, but apparently it moves very, very slowly, and it can't, like, go around people that well. And it probably also can't give you keys to rooms that you're not supposed to be in, which is the best part of being friends with a janitor. Right.
That and putting sawdust on vomit.
Exactly.
In the schools. Yeah.
So it says the goal is to get it to work alongside human cleaners in large offices, and it's going to empty bins and vacuum floors. But I think you could use it at home as well. It looks like half a vacuum cleaner with a Roomba arm attached to it. It said at the moment, humans, they call us humans.
Yeah.
Humans can do about 400 to 450 to 500 square meters an hour in cleaning. That's quite a lot. But a robot can do 100 to 120. So it's really, really slow. However, it's coming up on the kind of work that a Roomba can do. And I think that's why a Roomba attacked that woman. They're already going obsolete, Roombas.
So they're just angry? This is just,
they're lashing
acting,
out.
They're lashing out.
What would you do if you were replaced at your job?
That's true.
You know, by a better Katie that was cheaper. You know, you would lash out too.
Nobody
you would try
would
to
have any
try
hair
to
left.
Eat someone's hair. Exactly. Yeah. I would snatch wigs. And if they weren't wigs, I would, you know, still try to get them off people. So, yeah, this is a robot cleaner that can empty bins and sweep floors is about to eat Roomba's lunch. So watch out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is why we don't need robots to become aware, because when they see like a better model coming along, they're going to be pissed off.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. I'm with the Roomba now. Now I'm pro Roomba.
Really? Are we already succumbing to our robot overlords?
Yes, but I'm repping the little guy.
Okay.
I'm repping the Roomba, like the early robotics. Like I'm going old school.
Like a blender.
Yeah, a blender is cool.
Yeah.
Like don't come at me with some new thing. All right.
Oh. All right. I
see the word doll, and I'm creeped out.
I hate
dolls.
Creepy doll fans rejoice. There's a new audio of Thomas Edison's horrific talking toys. So Thomas Edison, when he first, in his heyday,
okay,
made dolls that spoke, had
what?
Recording devices in their torsos.
It's amazing.
But
to
at
me,
that point, I mean, this nobody was doing.
Yeah.
So this was like,
why didn't? Had he been a woman, they would have burned his ass at the stake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is why you never hear about like female inventors.
Yeah. Right, but this is like...
we cure someone with some herbs and it's like, you're a witch.
Right, right. So he's got these dolls. Anyway, so...
I didn't know about this.
They started off by saying, a child wanders into the playroom and picks up her favorite doll, immaculately dressed in the latest doll fashions. The doll begins to scream, Little Jack Horner. But the word Horner sounds more like murder. That's because the recordings were so bad and now they're so old.
Oh, no.
They're playing these dolls and it, like the recordings from the dolls and it's all distorted and super creepy.
But that's, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that's like, Horner could sound like a lot of other things. Murder?
Yeah, well, they have the recordings. If you go to this article, mm-hmm. and they
did
have,
you listen to
I
them?
I listened to them.
Ew.
Oh,
it was
my
creepy.
God. They're so creepy. They sound like a really old Betty Davis.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to cut that in.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Oh.
Like, and distorted and just bizarre and demented.
Wow.
Really...
Yeah, I got to hear these. You got to send these to me.
Anyway, so it sounds, these, Thomas Edison came close to making these dolls a reality.
Was he looking for the portal to hell? Like, what was going on?
They're basically, it was a toy, and it was in production for 6 weeks in 1890.
Mm-hmm. Until the factory mysteriously burnt down and the dolls were never heard from again.
The dolls broke extremely easily, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And then the recordings, you know, just, they just didn't hold up.
Okay.
But a few of the dolls did, and They have the recordings. Again, you can listen to them online. You can listen to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. What does it say?
Like, kill all humans.
No, it's just so distorted that you can't really hear everything that's saying it. It sounds really scary.
Oh, that's...
There was another recording called There Was a Little Girl. Okay. You know the one, There Was a Little Girl Who Had a Little Curl Right in the Middle of Her Forehead. Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, which is also terrifying.
It's horrifying. All of these things are terrifying.
Hickory Dickory Dock.
Yeah.
So now all the recordings are available, and the dolls are now on display.
Where? Like at the Smithsonian or something like that? That's creepy.
I don't know. I hope that they put them in the in Ed and Lorraine Warren's.
They need to.
Scary Museum.
Like, just in case.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but you have to listen to it and maybe drink some wine while you're doing it, because they're, wow.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
All right, so I wanted to bring up a short thing here. We've all heard of Airbnb.
Airbnb, yes.
Yes, where you can rent a room in someone's home or apartment, or you can rent the entire apartment. Mm-hmm. So there's an app out there called Airbnb, basically.
Oh, no.
And it's Airbnb basically allows you, it's an app that offers access to more than 50 bathrooms and in businesses and private homes throughout New York City.
No.
Airbnb.
No.
Options include the use of a bronze bathtub for $2 or a $9 East Village bathroom rental featuring multiple faucets. So this guy is going to try it out. He went to Park Slope. His host in Park Slope was a young man who answered the door in jeans and bare feet, greeted me with a smile and waved me into the bathroom. The light was already on and the exhaust fan was running.
Let me set this up for you.
Yes. There was a pot of pink plastic zinnias, a hand towel with a palm tree pattern, and a bottle of Aveeno moisturizer, but I was disappointed with the generic cleanser. The reporter tells him, for $5, you should upgrade your hand soap, he says on the way out. And the guy said, okay. Then he went to another place.
Okay, and then stabbed him and ate his eyes.
He went to another place called Orange You Glad, a storefront design firm in Carroll Gardens. So this is also in Brooklyn. The toilet was billed as a classic white ceramic bowl, was available for free.
Oh.
So he parked his bike out front. He went in and said, hey, I'm here to use the bathroom. They said, go for it. He said, I decided to press my luck. He asked for a glass of water. He said, I can have a glass of water. It's hot out. They gave him a glass of water, which he drank in the bathroom. He said it wasn't the cleanest. The sink was a little grimy, but he was impressed by the 1975 issue of Esquire and the rhubarb hand soap.
That's nice.
So he asked them on the way out if anybody else had used the service to use their bathroom. He's like, yeah, there was only one other person, and they were also a reporter.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Airbnb. The guy who founded it is hoping to work with a major toilet paper industry, like, person, I guess, like Puffs or something like that. He's hoping to partner with them or also to work with, I guess, someone who makes toilet bowls. He said, we are the crossover into the digital world of the bathroom experience.
Oh, come on.
Airbnb.
Well, that's, you know, it's a challenge sometimes for New Yorkers to find a bathroom in the area that you are that you can get into.
Yes. I sympathize with this as a New Yorker, but it's also, I find it very embarrassing when people come to our city and they can't go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Because when you travel to other places, it's not a big deal to use a bathroom. But in New York, you will walk by, like, even in my area, probably yours too, there are signs that, like, for customers only.
Yeah.
People need to pee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like hopefully no one's going to blow it up.
But as the owner of an establishment, you're going to be cleaning up after all these people.
Yeah. But that's why I think it's important for maybe municipalities or someone to have, like, what if you have a kid with you?
Yeah.
And you need to, like, you know, change them, or, I don't know, what if you just need to pee? Like, it shouldn't be that
I've
onerous
had, I've
task.
Had that. I've been in the company of a child, and I went into some building.
I've been in the company of children. The Katie Casimir story.
Anyway, we really couldn't find a bathroom, and it was just, we had to find a bathroom.
Yeah, kids gotta pee, they gotta pee.
Yeah, so I walked into a doorman building, and I said, we have a bathroom emergency, is there a bathroom? And the guy was like, had mercy, and showed us where our bathroom was. We weren't supposed to be there. And I have actually, this is my thing that I do every so often. You go into a hotel, and usually they're, like, some of the hotels, they'll only, you know, they won't let you.
I rush by. I try to pretend like I belong there.
No, we'll put your phone to your ear.
And just run through.
And pretend you're talking and be just like bathroom and just kind of, and they'll just point to
be, just to let you in on this, it's a little easier for me as a person of color sometimes. If there's a person of color working at the front, I can be like, yo, like, can you, you know, let me use bathroom? That Not is, always.
Oh, interesting.
Not always.
I have done on one occasion where they refused me. They said, what? Yeah, they've turned
Did
me
you drop trial and pee right there? I hope you did.
I said something. I said, I'm pregnant.
And they were like, yeah, me too, lady. Next.
They're like, okay, go. Because what can they do?
But the thing is, it's not, you know, it's a biological need. It's not like you're trying to, like, ruin the establishment.
I know.
If you're like, screw the Waldorf. I'm going to pee to my heart's content. Yeah. It's just really weird. Like, there's nowhere, you know, unless you buy something, and that's not always, you know, an option, or you don't want something, there should be places where you can go and, like, take a pee. It's like, come on. I've never been anywhere in the world except for in New York where I haven't been able to use a bathroom.
Yeah.
So Airbnb is, you know, I don't know if it's the answer.
So how much are they charging? Like, what's the top price? Well, low price? What's the range? I know the one place was for free.
The one place was free, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the other, it says you could use a bathtub for $2. I don't know if you can pee in that. Or you could, in the East Village, it was $9 use a bathroom. I feel like that's a bit much.
Yeah.
I feel like $2, you know, $1 something like that is good. But, like, really, we should have, you know, facilities for people. There's also, and I thought this was kind of interesting, too. For $7 an hour, these are other different apps where you can rent space. You can get a seat at Pushcart Coffee, which is a Manhattan cafe. Now, ordinarily, the seat's free.
Yeah.
You can get it, as a, you know, when you buy a coffee
or
something to eat. But they're saying, you know, the place is full. So some customers like the chance to reserve a private table.
No, I'm not going to go there.
That's Pushcart Coffee.
Avoid it.
Like, I'm going to go in there and not be able to sit down because I don't want to give them extra $7.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Whatever. Come on.
Rent is too damn high. If people want to charge me $7 to sit in a cafe after I've bought something, I don't think so.
Ooh, thumbs down.
Yeah, but I kind of thumbs to the side for Airbnb.
Okay.
Because I think it's an interesting idea. You know?
It is. Well, we've got to really address the bathroom issue.
If there's an establishment out there, like if I were running, say, I don't know, like a children's store or a toy store, I might say, hey, I got a nice bathroom. Do you have a kid? Come on in.
Yeah.
Let them have a pee. While they're peeing, maybe you might want to, you know, purchase an item here or something like that. Like, you could put something together.
Yeah. Remember this favor I do for you today.
I mean, you could... that would kind of dissuade people from it. The mob is skimming off the top of Airbnb. Ordinarily, it's $2 for the day for you. Four. Four. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Oh,